Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, everybody. So today's show, we had a great show. We had a great interview with the host from An American Nightmare, 22 Hours, the new podcast.
And we talked about the Corolla Family Barbecue.
Yes, we did.
And we gave a little gossip. But before we get into the show, you know, as summer sizzles, do you feel like you're cooking in your clothes a little bit? Mm-hmm. That's a lovely visual, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, if that sounds like you, Tommy John has the perfect solution. Tommy John's innovative cool cotton underwear for men and women is a summer must-have. It's like your own on-body air conditioner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have great t-shirts. You know, Lynette and I are obsessed with wearing our husband's t-shirts and having t-shirts for ourselves. Plus, Tommy John's No VPL Air Collection features seamless edges for a no-visible panty line guarantee. They have also a no-wedgie guarantee, and their undies come in a range of styles and fabrics that are suited to your entire summer wardrobe. The legs don't ride up. The waistbands don't roll down. Plus, it's just super soft. Also, it's backed by their best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. That means if you don't love the first pair, you'll get a full refund. No adjustment needed. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/FCOL now to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/FCOL for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/FCOL.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to For Crying Out Loud. What's
hello,
up,
hello, 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 hello.
We have guests today, Stephanie, calling in, which, by the way, I know our audience is a little fickle with guests, but we know. We know you. We got you. And they're going to love these two.
And it's the first 30 minutes of the show is talking to them. So if you really hate, like, hearing about crime podcasts, which
it's
most of you love.
Yes. It's then, the host of 22 Hours, An American Nightmare, the new podcast about the D.C. murders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun conversation.
It flew by the way.
But also,
let's talk about Brush Hero.
Why wouldn't we? Tell us about it.
Brush Hero. It's a water-powered cleaning and detailing tool. You just hook it up to your garden hose, and the water pressure makes the brush spin. It rinses as it scrubs. It makes cleaning very easy. I have one. Olga used it the other day to clean up the backyard.
Love that.
Adam put her to work while I was throwing up. Yes, it's a wonderful thing.
Clean your car, clean patio furniture.
Everything. Toys. It's camping gear. It's for anything, basically, on the outside. Yeah, your car. And it makes a great gift. So Brush Hero is giving our listeners 15% off of everything at their website. So anybody's birthday or just as a gift.
Or for yourself.
Don't miss out. Go to brushhero.com/pages/loud. Use the code loud at checkout and you'll get 15% off. And or you can grab one at your local Costco.
Yeah. Also, tell us about Ancestry.
Well, I used Ancestry, the Ancestry DNA kit, which was very easy, and it connects you to, you know, people all over the world, as you know. But you can trace your ancestries all the way back. You can find out exactly where what you are from your DNA. So you spit in this thing, you send it off. They analyze your DNA, and within a short couple weeks, they get back to you and they tell you, they give you more insight into your genealogy and your origins. And I did it. And are you ready? Is everybody sitting down? I'm 90% from Italy, Italian, and the rest is Greek, I guess, from the Greek islands.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So wait a minute. That means that my parents, one of them is no. That's just my origin. That's my DNA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Italy.
Yeah.
And Greece. Whatever. I'm Italian. But find out what you are. You guys can check out what you are. And if you go to Ancestry.com, I only have...
Yeah, go to Ancestry.com/FCOL today for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. That's Ancestry.com/FCOL for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit, Ancestry.com/FCOL.
Thank you.
And now, here is our interview with the hosts of 22 Hours in American Nightmare.
Megan and Jack.
Hi, Lynette. How are you?
I'm good. You're on with myself and Stephanie Wilder-Taylor.
Hi, Megan.
Hello.
Jack, are you there too?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I'm quiet.
Oh, it's okay. That's
Jack,
okay.
Don't be quiet.
Jack is the quiet one, I remember. Jack doesn't
I'm
like
in the background
be...
a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
We're like forcing him to do interviews. He's like, oh, I don't know.
We're so excited to have you guys on.
Oh, my God.
First of all, what you may not know is that Lynette and I are completely obsessed with these shows, these kind of shows, these
oh my gosh.
True crime,
oh,
serialized,
true, crime.
True story with an actual journalist that go for several episodes. We love them. And they're hard to do. They're hard to make really good and engaging and compelling. And you guys did a great job. We love it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
How did it come about? Like, how did you... And we've already teased this several times to our audience, so they know what we're talking about. You guys, we're talking about 22 Hours in American Nightmare. Give us the synopsis of the story for anybody who hasn't listened to it.
Yeah, so it was just a seemingly completely normal day in May 2015 when a father, mother, their 10-year-old little boy, and the family's housekeeper were taken hostage inside the family's house for 22 hours, hence the name of the podcast, tortured and killed. And then the house was set on fire. And that was the first that we heard of it. So Jack actually wasn't working at WTOP then, but I was. And I remember thinking, oh, that's a crazy place to have a fire. It's just around the corner from the vice president's residence. So we kind of all rushed there. And the story very quickly turned worse and worse and worse. It was like, oh, no, there's people inside.
Right.
Oh, there's a child inside. And then who did this? Was it multiple people? Was it one guy? And so this was, back in 2015, when the trial came up more than three years later, we were there and we covered every day of the 6-week trial. And so, not to jump the gun here, but as we were covering the trial, we realized, oh my gosh, there's so much we're not getting to. There's so many details that are just not getting in the reports because there's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided at that point, it deserved more coverage. Yeah.
Wow.
So were you doing stories about ongoing stories as it was going? Covering it when you were covering
it? We were doing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm a crime and courts reporter here in D.C. And, I kind of jump on breaking news no matter where it is. But when there was ever anything that came up in this trial or in the, leading up to the trial, we would cover it. But it's so hard to follow. I mean, for just the average person, you hear about this horrible thing happening. It made national news. It was called the D.C. Mansion Murders, and people might remember it because of
I'll never forget
the DNA on the pizza crust.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I just remember because we have young kids. I mean, I have two 13-year-olds right now.
And I have two 11-year-olds.
Yeah. And so, I just I remember the crime when it happened, and the little boy in the house just really stuck out to me, and it was horrible. It's right up there with the one where in Connecticut, I think it was.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that, Lynette.
Yes, the doctor Dr. Pettit, who they knocked him out, and then
they made the mom go to the bank.
Right, they took the family hostage then with the two young, with the two teenage
and it makes
girls.
And you can go back to In Cold Blood, a kind of similar situation. I think That idea of being attacked inside your home, it really strikes at that primal fear that I think we all have. I mean, your home is the place where you're supposed to feel safest. And so to be violated there in just such a brutal way, I mean, it horrified the region and also the nation. I mean, I think when anyone heard about this just on their local news, it just totally captivated people in kind of the worst way. And to your question about kind of following it before the trial, that was one of the interesting things. As Megan mentioned, there was kind of a gap between when the crime happened and then when they identified a suspect and then when he went on trial. There was about 3 years, and there really wasn't any information coming out. I mean, there was every few months there would be a kind of a brief court hearing, but we weren't getting any information, and people wanted to know, is this the guy who did this? Is he the only one? And we had to wait those 3 years for the trial to really begin to get some of those answers.
Right. And then you guys both were there every day of the trial?
Megan,
I was there in the courtroom every day.
Yeah, you were
in courtroom 203.
Right. Good. Every single day of the trial, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for the most part. I mean, there were like Fridays off or, you know, random days. But yeah, and Jack was back here in the courtroom. In the newsroom.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm being brainwashed here. we kind of developed this thing, and it was really just to make sure we were covering the court case well for our day jobs. So I would run out because no audio or video was allowed in D.C. Superior Court. It still isn't. No recording at all.
Wow.
So I would run out, whether, you know, it was raining or whatever it was outside, and I'd call Jack kind of with my hair on fire saying, you know, okay, this is who we're expecting to testify today. This is the spelling of their name. Like just kind of getting on the same page.
Right.
And then we'd have like a brief conversation about, well, that's weird because this person said they didn't get to the house till whatever, you know, 9:15. Mm-hmm. And I thought this happened before that. And we'd talk out the evidence of the day just to make sense of it. Well, he was recording those conversations.
Oh.
Mostly. So he could go back and be like, wait, what did she say?
Smart.
because I talk a million miles an hour too. Mm-hmm. But it ended up being almost like an audio diary of this trial.
Right.
And we're kind of going through it with you. And so we ended up doing this chronologically. There were so many details in court that were presented out of order.
Right.
So you kind of want it to be like a movie where you're hearing, okay, like this is the first day, this is what we think happened.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that. It was like, you know, the witness on the third week said this thing. And then we go back to the forensic examiner who gives you this detail. And you're kind of all over the place. So the difficulty in putting this thing together, and Jack really spearheaded this for us in writing, was taking those like millions of little details and just putting them in order, and then taking our audio diaries and putting them in order. So we were able to, as we put the podcast together, kind of like walk through what we learned with you as we were learning it.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Did you guys come up with any of your own theories that maybe differed from what was happening in court?
Well, we did. After the trial, when we tried to interview a lot of the witnesses, I mean, almost everyone who testified, we tried to reach out to, tried to contact, even, you know, for example, there was a man who was installing wallpaper at a house in the neighborhood, and he was the person who spotted the smoke coming from the house and called 911. And I reached out to him 3 times trying to get him to, you know, just do an interview for this podcast, and he didn't want to talk. A lot of people didn't want to talk, I think just because of how kind of gruesome the crime was, and they kind of, you know, they had some kind of tangential relationship to it, and they kind of wanted to move on with their life. But we did talk to the family's longtime housekeeper, a woman named Nelly Gutierrez.
Yep.
She knew the family for 20 years. She knew the other housekeeper. The other housekeeper was actually an employee of hers because she owned a small cleaning business. And she, I mean, this crime really affected her. I mean, you know, for obvious reasons. I mean, these are people that she knew well. And then there was kind of this really strange thing of the family warning her away from the house, you know, don't come today, which, you know, may have saved
right.
her life if she didn't get that text message. So after she testified, she kept coming to court because she wanted to learn what happened to her friend, what happened to these people that she knew.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw something when they were presenting crime scene photographs. Basically, the police, almost immediately, you know, the first day after the fire was out, went around, you know, this very large, lavish home and were taking photos of everything, you know, even if they didn't really think it had a connection to the crime, you know, just to establish here's what the crime scene looked like immediately afterwards. And they had, there was a picture that they showed of the kitchen. And I don't want to give too much away because it is kind of something new and in a revelation in one of our episodes. But she saw something in one of those photos, and knowing what she knew of how the house ran, it kind of gave her a clue about when she thinks that the man who was convicted of doing this crime, Darren Wendt, when she thinks that he might have been able to slip inside that house and take these people hostage. And it's something that only she would have really known.
Wow.
And so it's sort of a theory because, you know, when you're on the stand, you can't speculate.
Right.
And you're only allowed to really answer the questions that you're being asked. You can't just like, you know, oh, and by the way,
sure, right, right.
when you're giving testimony. So we didn't, that never came out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one ever asked her how she thought the killer got in, but it makes a lot of sense the way she lays it out.
And the police didn't have any solid evidence. For a while, there was on the side of the house, there was a set of French doors that had been kicked in, and there was even a boot print on the door. And the police thought that that might have been, you know, a sign of forced entry that the intruder got in through. But then it turned out that it was a firefighter who had kicked open the door when they were responding to the fire.
Oh.
So by the time the trial rolled around, the prosecutor even leveled with the jury. She told them point blank. She said, we can't tell you what door he came in. We can't tell you how he got in. You know, mm-hmm. that was not something that they were able to prove.
Right.
But the housekeeper, with her knowledge of how that house ran, she has her theory, which does really seem to fit.
Yeah, I'm very much interested to hear what she has to say more. I mean, we heard about it in the first episode, but I'm curious because when you're there every day and you know the house, I never thought about that, but maybe she did see something in crime scene photos. What were you going to say?
I thought the whole thing was weird, though, with the housekeeper. I needed more information about how she was supposed to be there. She never turns down going to work, but because the other housekeeper needs somebody to interpret for her, right? But it was like the first time in all these years that she was like, no, I'm not going to come. Wasn't that weird?
Yeah, and it was a life-ending decision. It's
yes.
so weird. I mean, basically, just for your listeners, it was Vera was the woman who lost her life, who worked in that house every day, and Nellie Gutierrez was her boss and who also worked at the house and who we spoke with. And Nellie had asked Vera to come with her out to Chantilly, which is just a suburb out here in D.C. But Vera said, you know, no, I'm going to go to the house like I usually do. And a part of it was because she didn't want to work late that day. It was going to take her longer to get home. There's like little things that, mm-hmm. that make sense. But it was the first time Nellie said she'd ever gotten a no from Vera. And then it just happened to be the one day, you know?
Yeah.
And it really, to Megan's point, it really does seem like, because if listeners don't kind of understand the geography of D.C., Chantilly is out in Virginia and it's not accessible by metro. And Vera, who worked at the Savopoulos house Monday through Friday and who had been asked to work, you know, getting this karate studio ready, she didn't drive, you know, so she relied on metro. So she would have gone out to Chantilly. I think maybe she was thinking, oh, I'm going to be stuck out there, you know, so late in the night and not have a way to get back, you know, and have to be dependent on somebody else for a ride. So she thought, well, you know, it'll just be easier probably. I'm just going to go to the house like normal, you know, because from there she could come and go, you know, at
right.
her regular time. But as Megan said, that was, you know,
yeah.
if she would have been out at that karate studio, she wouldn't have been in that house when the intruder got in.
But where was Nellie? Because wasn't she supposed
Stephanie
to be at work?
Stephanie is suspecting Nellie.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's horrible. I feel like Nellie, I felt like her story was kind of fishy.
Stephanie's like, I've got this figured out.
Yeah.
So she ran her own business. She had a bunch of different houses that around the area that she ran. So Vera was her employee at the Savopoulos home who was there Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Nellie went like Tuesdays and I think it was Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
So she wasn't scheduled. And this happened on the day they told her not to come was a Wednesday. And then she was like,
Thursday.
Well,
but she had been working at the dojo, the karate studio, on Wednesday
right.
late.
Helping him
and
get
then,
it ready. Yeah.
Right. So then she, and she knew she was going to have to be back at the dojo on Friday because that was the grand opening. So Thursday, which might have been a day that she was going to go to the house, but she didn't. And then they sent her that text message anyway saying, don't come. You know, it's interesting, Stephanie, to your point, the police, you know, in the very beginning, they were suspecting everybody. And
I know.
You remember when Nellie heard about the fire, mm-hmm. and she raced there, the police took her to question her.
Yeah.
And at first they told her they were taking her to the hospital. And it wasn't until they pulled up and,
the
sign
station.
Said homicide department.
Right.
You know, and they kept her there for hours and, you know, didn't tell her what was going on. They were judging her reaction to things. How was she, you know?
So was I.
Well, it makes sense, though. Yeah, because if she's the person who knows the house, knows the routine, I mean, I think everybody who was close to that family came under suspicion because initially they look right to his business dealings, right? He was in a construction business, which can sometimes be like a cash business, sometimes maybe shady actors, depending on.
What about what about the daughters, the older daughters? There's two of them, right, that weren't home. They're away at boarding school and college, I think.
Yeah, they were away.
I mean, how are they? Are you able to talk to them in the podcast at all or get in touch with them at all?
Well, so it's been difficult because the family right from the get-go said, we do not want to talk to media, period.
And they never have. They issued a written statement back in 2015, and they've never
given on the sentencing day. Sorry to interrupt you, Jack. It's just so part of us was like, you know, if that's their wish, we want to respect their wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the daughters is over 18. You know, when this happened, this was 4 years ago, so they were still in high school, and now it's a different story. So we're considering reaching out to the daughters. We know one of them was at the sentencing. Was able. Both of them gave a statement. Which they were very powerful and they were very emotional and it was hard even to sit there listening to them. So I can't imagine writing them on their part. But one of them is engaged to be married and could, you know, I think it's this summer, so she may very well be married by now.
Well, that's
they both
good.
Have careers and they're
so they're
by
doing
all
okay.
accounts doing as well as you could do if something like this happens to your family. But
oh my gosh.
Another thing I thought
they
was
weren't
really,
home.
really crazy about the whole case was how much acting they had to do when they were making those phone calls,
right?
Leaving messages for people. They were so
calm,
natural,
right.
And like the way you would leave a message. If you know, I mean, I can't imagine if you're at gunpoint.
Completely normal.
I feel like you'd be like, "Hi, can you
like
call
winking
me back?"
At the,
yeah,
trying to wink.
But they're like, "Yeah, hey, how's it going? You know,
right?
Give me a call."
It's crazy.
Blah, blah. No. All right, talk to you later.
The prosecution said that they had to do that because they wanted to get their kid out of there.
Sure.
No,
there's
I know.
Absolutely anything you can do. If you say, I'll make this call and I promise that I won't let on. I mean, again, we don't know what happened, right? We don't know what was happening behind the scenes.
Right,
but we have
right.
these calls where when your listeners hear them, they'll just be blown away. It's like, hey, man, time to change your voicemail.
Right.
I was just wondering if you'd help me out with something. Like, it's totally almost breezy is the way
yes.
I describe it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to think what was going on behind the scenes, you're like, oh, my God, I don't know if I could have done that. But then you think about there's a 10-year-old who could make it out of this alive if you do it the right way.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I think that's what it comes back to. The prosecution said they were going to do anything. And that's part of the reason they think the money was the amount it was. The ransom was $40,000. And
not
it's because the father worked in this construction business where he could get that amount of money and not raise an eyebrow.
Right. I know, but I feel like if by the time you're, you know, I've rethought this crime. Yeah. I feel like by the time you've taken a family hostage, go for more than $40,000.
Right.
Right? Like $40,000 is not that much money.
Yeah. I thought the same thing.
And to Megan's point, you know, it had to be an amount of money that wouldn't raise eyebrows. I mean,
right.
if they had asked for $100,000, I think everybody at that company would have been, that's not normal. You know, it might have raised alarm bells. And I think that the father, the family thought that the best way to handle the situation is give him everything that he wants and he'll let us go.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they were thinking, you know, no surprises. We don't want anyone to like show up unexpectedly. You know, maybe they were, can you imagine that maybe the selflessness that they felt of, we don't want anyone to come from the company because maybe they'll be taken hostage too.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
So they were trying to, you know, I mean, just trying to deal with the situation. And it, you know, we talked to jurors afterward, you know, to kind of get their decision-making process. And that was something that, you know, kind of, for some of them, kind of haunted them of, you know, do I have to have a plan, you know,
yeah.
like a safe word, you know, so if my family gets a call from me to know, you know, even though I may sound normal, something's not right. And it's like, I mean, a case like this is not common at all. And you really can't plan your life around, you know, thinking that something like this is going to happen. But it did happen in this case.
Right.
So it's one of those things that you just wonder, do I have to have a plan?
Well, but you guys, like the $40,000, that's what we thought. Like, how could you? I mean, $40,000 solves a lot of problems, but I mean, to kill a child?
No, I know.
Crazy.
It is. I was just on the way here listening to episode 3. By the way, when I heard the first episode, I immediately sent an email, which I've never done before, to our guys at Podcast One and to Kaylin, our producer. Can you please, is there any way, since I have on the inside track, can I get a link to more episodes? They don't have to give me all of them, but, you know, maybe the first 5, because I was so wanting to binge.
The first 5.
So I just...
Well, can I tell you, I have to tell you a secret. Mm-hmm. We are still cutting 5.
Okay, that's what I
thought. So we are not even done with this thing. Like, okay. It's still evolving as we go, which is terrifying and kind of exciting at the same time, because we're sort of hoping, I mean, like, Darren Wint, when the first day of the trial, he blames his 2 younger brothers for this.
Right.
Because it wasn't me, it was my 2 younger brothers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that just blew up the courtroom, because it was like, not only do you have one side of the courtroom, it's like grieving families, and how could you have done this? And they're, you know, they're in mourning. You have another side of the courtroom where the family is being broken apart because the defendant is blaming his brothers.
Right.
And it was just like, whoa. So we're hoping, I mean, hoping against hope, that maybe the brothers call, or like, you know, we can kind of blow up the episodes and this thing will change course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look, it's hard
so we kind of haven't, we're still working on it.
It's right. Hard to make bingeable, and our listeners love these kind of shows. And our biggest complaint is when we turn people on to something too early. They
right.
get really mad because they're like, so at least with yours, when they're going to, they'll at least be 3 episodes.
Yes.
But people get so mad when they're like, why did you tell us about this show? There's only 1 episode. How dare you?
I know. And I felt bad telling people about the show going, oh my God, it's so, you don't want to say it's like, it's so amazing. It's so good because
yeah.
it's sad. It's
I know.
It's very sad.
It's horrible. Yeah.
But
hey,
it's very compelling.
Well, we appreciate the compliment.
Oh.
It's funny too how now it's just like we just binge everything. Like you don't even watch the show 1. You
know,
you're like, hey, can I watch?
Hey, how many episodes?
We thought about that, but.
How many episodes do you plan on doing?
We think our initial plan is for 10 episodes. But if we hear back from people that we've been trying to interview, and they've so far have not been available, but if they come out of the woodwork, it could potentially grow. But right, our plan is for 10.
Well, if you guys want any actors to reenact any of the court testimony, Stephanie and I will happily do it.
Yeah.
But you have to give
You're
us
ready.
As many episodes you have in the can as possible, and maybe some that are half in the can. But Megan, I have a quick question. When you were in the courtroom every day, you were looking at Darren. What did you feel from him? Did you feel that he was guilty? I mean, did you get
psychopath?
Any kind of, yeah, any vibe from him? Any remorse from
remorse?
Him? Anything? What did you think of him? I mean, you saw him every day.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the back of him every day. But when he actually took the stand in his own defense.
Oh.
And we, like, that was like a bombshell. I was, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Because usually in a case like this, that's like the last thing you want to do. I mean, any defense attorney will tell you, oh, no.
I'm sure they told him not to.
Yeah. And so that was fascinating because hearing him explain all this away, in the beginning, he seemed, how would I characterize it? He seemed very like factual. Like he was just answering the question like very straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then he broke down on the stand at one point. But I thought it may be because of the pressure he was under. I mean, every word you say is determining the rest of your life, you know, if you're on the stand.
Right.
And I think he just started crying, but he was crying at a really non-emotional part. But I think I was struck by that for that reason. And the jury kind of was looking at each other like, what's going on? Like, you don't want to jump to conclusions, but it just didn't seem like a really sad part of the story. And then the prosecution like went for blood, obviously. So
right.
They were like, I mean, beating him down on every single thing he said. Well, why would you say a cross as opposed to a round?
Right,
you know, like
right.
every detail, they were just hammering home. So he became very kind of quiet, like the judge had to tell him a couple times, we really need you to speak up. We can't hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
He would just almost monosyllabic at some points.
Right.
And then in the end, when the verdict came down, he just dropped his head.
Mm.
There was no crying. There was no... Yeah, he maintained his innocence the entire time. He's appealing his conviction right now. He says he didn't do this.
Do you think, and we go into his defense.
He
says he wasn't there?
That's it.
Uh-huh. Does he say he wasn't there, or he just says he was pressured into it?
Well, his defense is that his brothers tricked him into going to that house, but he didn't, while the family was being held hostage, but they were upstairs and he never went upstairs. And that's why, there's some incriminating forensic evidence of his at the scene of the house, because yes, he was there, but he didn't know what was going on.
He was just having pizza.
Right. He had a piece of pizza, then felt like something wasn't really right, and then decided to leave. And the prosecution was like, really? Come on.
Wow.
I mean, there's more to the story after the crime happens. Like, he goes on a spending spree in New York.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Goes up to see his fiance, and there's so much more to it after he leaves the house.
Right.
But to that broader point, there were no fireworks at any point, from him. He was quiet in the courtroom, and he really was kind of like a cipher. It's really hard to get a read on who is this person. Many members of his family testified at the trial against him. They couldn't provide an alibi for him. And you really get the sense of, who is this person? He, even to his own family, he may have been a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Wow.
I didn't really know him that well. Yeah.
Now, you guys, a lot of people are into true crime these days. I mean, it's a huge trend. It's the zeitgeist right now. But you guys are like OG crime fans. And this is what you do for a living. Oh, you have, Megan?
Well, I'm a crime and courts reporter, so I don't even know what that says about me as a person, like that's what I've chosen to do with my life. But I just find it interesting. It's like the height of humanity.
Yes.
Like when you're in the courtroom every day, it's like the worst and the best of people. That's the best way I can describe it. The things you see.
Well, I've listened to a few podcasts. Sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I was just going to say, but I didn't really listen to true crime podcasts because it was like, that's what I do every day.
Sure.
So then to go home and do that, it was like, ooh, that's a little
overkill.
You're hearing, as a journalist, when you're hearing people, and it's just a different, everybody has a different style, but it's hard for me to listen to people like just talk about it and guess what may have happened and like maybe sensationalize a little bit. And I'm not picking on anybody specifically, but that's why when we approached doing this, Jack and I had really like a moment where like, how are we going to do this? Because we need to stay close to the facts. We're not going to go off on some tangent and talk about, our opinions about this thing. I mean, it's all based on the evidence and the testimony and all those things. So
but that's what our podcast is
for. Even starting to do this, we were like, how do we do this? We looked to a couple true crime podcasts to see like how they had put it together. Like In the Dark, for example, I don't know if you guys like that one, but mm-hmm. they did a fantastic job putting it together, and that was one of the ones we listened to. But I was kind of scared to listen to podcasts because I didn't want it to affect ours in a way. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want ours to become like NPR or become, its own thing. So.
Right. But you guys, do you listen to Sword and Scale by any chance?
No, we don't.
Oh, Jack. Oh, my God. Megan. All right.
Okay, give me the elevator pitch for it.
It's basically, our audience knows, it's Sword and Scale is the name of the show. There's how many episodes, Stephanie? It's so good.
140.
It's so good that Stephanie and I talked about it so much on the show that we got asked to do the after show. Stephanie hosts the after show for it.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
I love analyzing. Let me ask you guys this really quick. Do you, since you guys are into crime, Hot Car Dad, remember that case?
Oh, Stephanie's obsessed.
I'm obsessed with
the
case.
Hot Car Dad?
The guy who I feel was guilty of leaving his kid in the car, his toddler. And he was like sexting.
In the Atlanta area?
Yes.
Right?
And he was like sexting like all these women. And he was, had Googled like a child free. Life.
Right.
And do you guys remember this case?
Wow.
And a lot of people,
vaguely,
a lot of people think that he just accidentally left his kid in the car. And I'm fully convinced that he's a total psychopath and just left his kid in the car and has no empathy.
He was found guilty, right?
He was found guilty, but there are a lot of people that don't feel like
he
was.
Right. Anyway, but you guys
there's something about crimes with children that just new level.
Well, this Sword and Scale is a lot of episodes with unfortunately with children.
Yeah,
but highly recommend that. But so let me last thing though. Let me just say this, that I know because we look for these kinds of podcasts, and I've heard few podcasts here and there from these news stations around the country, like independent, whether it's radio news or television news, or there was like a not CNN, the other one. Anyway, but I think that that's the way to go now. I think it's you get these reporters like a Megan and a Jack, and you take these stories
like a Megan and a Jack,
and you make it into a. You guys have all the information, you have all the testimony, you put it into a podcast. And brilliant. I mean, there you go. You got 10 episodes.
Thank you.
I think
a friend of mine was like, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that an American Nightmare, I think that that could be, you could put that to any other, I mean, a lot of stories, right? I mean, do you guys have any plans on doing another story after this one?
Well, possibly. I think we're, as Megan said, we're about halfway through this one. So that's kind of our end goal is just to finish this one.
Sure.
But, you know, unfortunately with, you know, Megan covering crime day in and day out, I mean, really there are a lot of American nightmares in our backyard.
Right.
Happening all the time.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, we'll see when we finish this one, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if we still have it.
I feel like my body temperature just went up like 15 degrees and you said like, oh my God, I don't know what else we do.
We'll take a breather.
I mean, the funny thing is it's like, I know. We
and
didn't
then
find
get back
this
at
crime.
It.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of crime, true crime shows, like, they look for a crime that's interesting enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, and I think they're part of the reason why we're so close to this and why we care so much about this project is we've really been following it since the beginning.
Oh,
so,
right.
So
sure.
If it was going to be another crime that we'd covered, I would want it to be, you know, I wouldn't want to come to it late. I'd want to know it back in front like we know this one. So
you guys are going to get
a hard
addicted
question to answer.
Producing podcasts. The show's called 22 Hours, an American Nightmare. And you can find Megan on Twitter at Cloherty, CloherTyWTOP. And you can find Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, at J Moore, just the letter J and then MOOREDC.
Did we get that right?
Yeah. Good.
Megan and Jack, thank you guys so much. You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, for us.
We really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. And good luck. And take a breather and get back to the next one. And please send me a link to the rest of them as you go.
Yeah.
As soon as we have them, we'll send them to you. Thank you for your interest, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
okay,
guys.
Bye, guys.
Take care. Wow. Stephanie. That was really good.
Yeah, they're really good. That's going
to
be
a lot to say.
They have a hit on their hands.
Yeah, they do. That's why I think they need to do more, I think. They should do one more after they're done.
You know what else is a real hit?
Yes.
Raycon earbuds. Do you like listening to stuff like podcasts, like 22 Hours in American?
Right.
Do you like listening to stuff with great clarity,
but
not spending $1 million on the Apple earbuds?
Right.
Get Raycon.
It makes sense. Raycons, they're great because they are like, they're those wireless earbuds, but they don't look weird either. You know, those doofusy ones with the stick sticking out. I'm not going to say who they are, but you know what I'm talking about. They have cool ones, and they're the best thing is that you know that the sound is going to be good because the company was co-founded by celebrities like, well, Ray J started it.
Yeah, you know he's into good sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, he doesn't want no bad sound. Here's what you want to do. If you want to get some very affordable wireless earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/FCOL and get 20% off your order. That's buyraycon, buyraycon.com/FCOL for 20% off Raycon wireless earbuds. If you've been eyeing a pair, now's the time to get an amazing deal. One more time, buyraycon.com/FCOL.
Also FabFitFun.
Oh my God. FabFitFun has, they've grown on me.
Yes, they have.
I'm going to be totally
honest.
I loved
them from the beginning, Stephanie.
At the very beginning, I was like, do we really like need all this stuff, all full-size products? And now I get super excited.
I know. It's like Christmas every time when we get that box.
But you know why? Because the stuff is consistently good.
Yes, it is. And like you said, it's full-size beauty, fashion, yeah. home stuff. They don't give you the chintzy little, you know.
Yeah, what? You're not going to. If you just got a sample size of stuff, you can't re-gift that.
That's right.
But the FabFitFun, you can take what you love the most for yourself, and anything left over, you can put in a drawer.
Give it to Stephanie.
And go, oh, you're having some kind of thing? Here,
yeah,
have
yes.
some lotion.
But so the 2019 summer box is total, the retail value is $269.95 to $467.
Yeah.
That's the range is in that summer box.
Yeah, and guess how much you're going to get it for?
How much, Stephanie?
$39.
What?
Yeah, because it's normally $49, but with our offer, if you sign up for FabFitFun today and they always sell out, you're going to get $10 off the first box. So you want to go to FabFitFun.com, sign up, start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code FCOL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com. Use the code FCOL. Get $10 off.
All right.
Oh, my God.
How was your weekend?
Oh, my God. Well, I went to a pretty fabulous event.
Yeah?
On Saturday.
Was it a well-oiled machine?
It was a well-oiled machine. I went Robin and Wade.
Yeah.
Came, Robin and Robin's husband, who looks like Dr. Drew, and they took a picture together. We're talking, of course.
Can I just say one thing about Wade? At the after party that I went to, the fans were, you know, they had a lot to drink by that point. There was a couple of them. Well, one dude was like, Lynette, did you see me in my picture with me and Dr. Drew? Did you see my? And then the other dude was like, I got a picture with Dr. Drew too. And it was both Wade. Fucking took a picture with Wade. And I go, that's my friend Robin's. That's Stephanie's friend Robin's husband. They were like, yeah, he's a nice dude. He took a picture with him. I go, I know, right? He looks like Dr. Drew. Yes.
People were coming up to Robin and going, oh, hello, Robin.
Oh, really? That's so
she
funny.
Loved it.
Yeah, we had some For Crying Out Loud listeners.
We sure did, Allie.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't talk about it very much on this show, but I guess I should promote the Corolla Drinks stuff more. But yeah, we had a Corolla Drinks family barbecue for the wine club members.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on June 22nd, and we're going to do it every year. So if you want to come next year, join the wine club. Go to Corolla Drinks. But so yeah, it was everybody was there.
Oh, except, and Casey?
Of
Crystal Casey. Williams. Crystal, you know, you'll hear that at the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, Casey. And her husband was there, right?
She's, yeah.
Yes. And Robin. It was so nice. And so who else was there?
Casey
was
Howell.
Yeah, Casey Howell.
Of Keller Williams, Crystal Coast.
Yes. Stephanie and John from John Taylor from Duran Duran.
Yep.
And her kids are, oh, my God. Can I
Sadie
just say?
Sadie and Xander came.
Sadie and Xander, I haven't seen them in so long, and when I see them, they came running up to me. Did you know that?
No, they love you.
I got the chills. I love anybody that comes running up to me, first of all. But no, but like you hear about them all the time, and then when you see their little those little faces and their little personalities and their looks, their fashion.
Oh, my God.
Sadie and her fashion and the way she looks just kills me. Like,
yeah, she's really into it.
Oh, my God.
Which is good because not
great.
So into math. But yeah.
Who cares? Who cares? Seriously.
No, I know.
She just has to get through school. She just has to get
well,
through.
Well, your kids were so sweet.
Oh my
I was
God.
Telling Lynette before, like when I first got here, I was like, oh my God, Natalia is so sweet.
She was nice.
She was so nice.
Thank God.
Just like one of those really nice, like teenage girl, like came up and was yeah. like, hi, how are you? And like, oh, and then Sunny.
She introduced me. Sunny was like a little. Her friend.
She introduced me to Mobile Muffin.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And I was like, holy shit, it's Mobile Muffin. Oh, my God. OMG. OMG. I'm eating Mobile Muffin. Oh, my God. Alert. Alert. I was excited.
She didn't say Mobile Muffin. Sonny knows what Mobile Muffin means. But
he does?
Not Natalia. Yeah. He's not going to tell her. Yeah.
How does he know?
I told him.
Ah!
We were talking about it. Me and Jen. He came to help me set up the party the night before.
Uh-huh.
And we were all sitting around afterwards eating pizza, like the crew with Patrick. And so Jen was like, so who's Natalia bringing? And I said, Mobile Muffin. And then we told Sonny, and he was like, Oh, yeah, yeah. That sounds about right.
Ah! Well, he was really sweet, too. Oh, my God. I have a funny little story for you. So, well, so Sonny was playing pool on mm-hmm. his own, mm-hmm. and Sadie and Xander were, like, some of the only kids there. Mm-hmm. So they spotted Sonny, and I brought Sadie over, and I couldn't remember if Sonny had even met them. I think he's met them, like, once
or
twice ever.
A long time ago. He doesn't really remember.
Yeah. So I said, oh, you probably remember Elby, because
– He does remember Elby. Yeah.
Yes. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And then I said, well, this is Sadie. Mm-hmm. Can she play pool with you? And he was like, yeah, yeah, sure. So then they were playing pool. And then Xander saw them playing and made a beeline over there. And then they were all playing pool.
They play pool for a long time.
Yeah.
And Sonny had a great time. He said he loved hanging out with them. He's thank God they were there, he said.
Oh.
Yeah, he said they're really sweet. And he's like, they're funny. And now he wants to buy a pool table. He's saving up for a pool. But he had so much fun with them.
Oh, good.
He really did. Yeah, so, it was really nice.
So earlier in the day, Dawson,
dude,
was playing his band,
yeah.
And he was my kids have a thing where they make fun of like people that are super religious,
uh-huh.
like any like Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
So Xander has a kind of a joke. I mean, I know it's not funny, but where he's like, call me Jesus or whatever.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So then Dawson sang a song about Jesus.
He did?
Yeah, it was like a rock and roll song,
right.
But it was about like Jesus. Like
something about Jesus driving down the PCH or something.
I don't know. Yeah. But the kids were like, oh my God, yes, he's singing a song about Jesus. And then they got it into their heads that they – first, you know my kids are super into making prank phone calls now.
Oh my God.
Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, and also – I was kind of laughing to myself that I'm a bad parent or just a hit parent that they're like, we're going to go make prank phone calls. And I'm like, all right, make sure you hide the number. Like,
no, because
that's how blasé I am. I'm like, of course you are. Good for you.
Adam and Howard Stern were talking about how their kids aren't into making prank phone calls.
Oh, mine are.
Anymore. And he's like, what's wrong with, what happened to the days where they would turn on the sprinkler out in the street, the fire hydrant, you know, remember those days?
Yeah.
Like, that's gone too. Like, what happened to the crank phone calls? Like, they're not into it.
Well, because, they are into it, but I think it's because, you know, you're calling from a cell phone, they're going to know your number.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So my kids just call from our landline because we're dinosaurs and still have a landline that mm-hmm. has a private number. So they call like fast food places. And I don't even really know what they do. It's not very sophisticated.
No.
They're not subtle.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, you're not fooling anybody. Oh, but Sadie did one where she said she was in the bathroom at uh-huh. McDonald's and she was like, I'm having diarrhea and there's no toilet paper. And she said the woman was like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm going to come in and bring you some toilet paper.
Oh my God.
And then she was like, what stall are you in? And then I think Sadie got nervous and like hung up.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But the point is,
yeah.
The reason I say that is because they thought it would be really funny to go up to Dawson and ask him, request a song, the uh-huh. Rupert Holmes, the Pina Colada song.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah.
It'd be so far from what he would do.
Yeah.
So they said, they both said they walked over and then Sadie came over and she's like, Mom, Dawson is really salty. And I said, he is? And she's like, yeah. I mean, we were looking at him and we wanted to go like talk to him, but he kind of gave us a dirty look. And I said, oh my gosh. They're like, is he pretty salty? And I said, no, he's like the nicest guy. I go, honestly, you just probably misinterpreted.
Was he on stage while he was? So it was,
I think so.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
He was then off stage and he was walking around. And I went over to him and I was like, hey, I said, so my kids think you're salty. And he was like, oh my God, I love it. I am salty. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. I don't want them to think that. So I bring Xander over and I was like, Xander, this is Mike Dawson.
And he
goes, I'm Mike. And he was so sweet with him. And he goes, so I hear you think I'm salty or whatever. And he was like, not me. That was my sister Sadie. So he's like, all right. So then I bring Sadie over.
I love
it. And he was just like, hey, Sadie, how are you?
I love it.
I'm Mike.
Nice
to meet you. Like, it was
so
cute.
I could so hear that.
But he was so warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, he is very warm and fuzzy.
Smells like he's just like smoked like 100 cigarettes.
Yes, he smells like, if you want to know what light and sweet smells like, James Baby Doll Dixon smells like Dawson, except Dixon has like the cologne.
Oh God.
Mixed with the cigarette.
Right.
Dawson
doesn't.
He's got like diesel fuel mixed with cigarettes. But Dawson, he should do their outgoing message for them. Isn't that funny? I just thought of that.
That would be so funny.
Yeah.
Hey, You've reached Xander.
Yeah.
Because guess what? They're getting phones today.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Rite of passage.
Do they know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So they were... So this was their graduation present.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I always joke around. The congratulations, time passed.
Right. I know. It's true.
Congratulations, you aged.
Yes.
I mean, you didn't do anything to graduate elementary school. And in fact, if you had to do something, you wouldn't have.
Yes.
Judging by the report cards. But anyway, no shade. They were getting a phone, which, as we've discussed, is more to help me than for them.
It comes in handy.
I need it because I can't freaking leave them anywhere.
No, I know.
Because I'm always like, they don't have a phone.
No, you're going
to
love
it. I don't like them riding their bike to the park.
You're going
to
love it.
I'm like, I don't want to have to go, oh, shit, Sadie and Xander have been gone for 2 hours.
I do that, too.
What happened? And then I'm going to have to... I'm such a no-getter. Do you think I'm going to be worried and then I'm just going to go like, it's fine.
I do that too.
Then eventually I'm going to be like, if it's not fine? And then I'm going to get in my car and go drive around and look for them?
Yeah.
I could just look on Life 360 or whatever and go, oh, there they are.
Life 360 app. Immediately download that shit.
Yeah.
It's free.
Then I'm like, if they're in like Pacoima, I know that shit went sideways.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
Or they're getting
they're
in really
good
shape.
Sun Valley.
So the reason I say that is because, of course, from the day that they graduated school, they were like, so when are we getting our phones?
Yes.
And I'm like, you know what? Slow your roll. Mm-hmm. LB didn't get hers. And by the way, the reason LB didn't get hers until almost when she started middle school, like the end of the summer, is pure laziness on our part.
Right.
So for them, I was like, LB had to wait. You guys can wait a little bit. And they're like, we really want our phone. We really want our phones. So then, of course, gets into my husband, who's mm-hmm. always like, I am totally on that tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day I got to research it. Mm-hmm. Like, how much research does it really take to get him a phone?
A phone.
It's not that much research.
Yeah.
You know, call Sprint.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of guesswork. We're with Sprint.
Right.
We're getting two more phones.
Right.
Find out what the deal is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like.
That's something I would say to Adam. I'm on it. I got to research it.
Yeah.
So, buys me a little more time.
Right. But here's what happens with Sadie and Xander. They start getting sad because they know they can't like go up to him again mm-hmm. and say, dude, where's my phone?
Uh-huh.
They have to play it right. They have to go like, how was your day yesterday? What'd you do? Oh, did you happen to like... make a phone call to Sprint. Like they have to try to slip it in there.
Yeah.
So then Xander looked all sad the other day and I was like, what's wrong? And he goes, I don't want to tell you. And I said, why? And he goes, I'm worried that you're going to think that I'm bratty.
Aw, that's something Sonny would say.
And I was like, family's a lot like I probably him. Will, but depending on what it is, but risk it.
He's not. Xander, bratty's not the word that comes to mind.
Of course not. So I was like just joking around with him. But mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, chances are good. But just tell me. And he's like, well, I just really want my phone. And I'm just worried that daddy's never going to. He keeps saying he's going to get us our phone. And I just want to know when I'm going to get it. He wasn't really crying. It was more like whining.
Yeah.
So I said, all right. I was like, you know what? I got you. I'm on it. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, John. Seriously, get the phones. And he's like, I'm going to get them. And I go, I know, but you keep saying it's going to happen tomorrow. And the kids really take that literally.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Guess they don't know you that well.
Right.
As well as I do. I'm like, do you want me to take it over? And he goes, no, I'm going to do it. Oh, but then John.
So he's got to look for. So the phone, it'd be funny if he came back and went, it's with the clam sauce. I can't find it.
Exactly. No, but you know what he does? Similar. Tell me if you've experienced this.
Mm-hmm.
John always has some kind of barrier that gets set up between him and whatever task he has to accomplish
uh-huh.
that really frustrates him. So then he just puts it off. So his was this time,
mm-hmm.
I can't sign on to my Sprint account.
Ah.
I can't. I tried to change the password. I tried to like – and I'm not getting the email that says – so then it's like he'll be like –
a barrier.
So frustrated. So frustrating.
It
and then he'll go on and do something else.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I understand. Like, we've all been there.
Right.
You and I with our having to, like, pick out, you know, which – is this a crosswalk?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Trying to verify ourselves. I get it. I get it's hard.
Right.
You know, I get that, you know –
is this a crosswalk? Click on the squares and have a car. I get that
sometimes there's a little piece of the crosswalk sticking out, but does that really count as a whole crosswalk?
Yes,
maybe that's just the – the tip, the end of a different picture.
What do they want? Do they want a little piece of the sidewalk or do they want like
a full sidewalk?
Yeah. They
front and
want
center.
To know if you're a robot or not is what we're talking about. And
right.
The squares. And it's like, you don't, it's like you never know. You fail the test like two times. How much do you want to know from me?
Right.
And you're more like, specific.
Does that count as a bridge?
Right.
If it's just like a something you could walk over?
Yes.
Like, but it's not like an,
right.
Is that an official bridge?
Piece of the bridge. There's a little square of the bridge in the square.
Right.
What do we do? Do you want that or not?
Right, exactly.
And it's like, fail, next one.
Right.
Then they try and dumb it down for you. All right, just give me two, just click on two.
Right, but I spend time studying it like it's the SATs. Yeah. I'm like, but hold on a minute. This one, I don't want to hit go.
Like a vehicle. Bus is a vehicle. Do you want that? Motorcycles, a vehicle.
Right. Does a boat count as a vehicle? I'm not sure. Like, you need a special license, yes. What if they were like, which of these vehicles requires a class 3 license to drive?
Oh my God.
It'd be like, come on, guys.
I know. Give me another
one. I just want to get on my Macy's account.
Yes.
Fuck
so,
Macy's.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yes, we get
so,
it
yeah,
for John.
John will be like, you know, I really was going to do this, but Sprint is making it difficult. So instead, I'm going to just go on Facebook and write a really long post. You know? And I'm like, okay, so what?
I love that.
Are we going to get back to it or is that happening? And then the magic words are, do you want me to take it over? Which he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So then he'll be like, no. I got it. And I'm like, okay, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you can't get back onto your Sprint account, I understand that can be frustrating.
Right.
So if you need me to do it,
yeah.
I'm sure I can figure out how to get on the fucking Sprint account. So, he somehow got himself on the Sprint account, figured it out, got her done,
nice.
And ordered the phones, I believe, on Saturday, and they're coming today by 3 o'clock.
Thank God. That's awesome.
So then we ordered the kids' cases for the phones.
Mm-hmm.
And
they need that immediately.
Through Amazon Prime. They need their case, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I ordered the wrong size for Xander because they're getting the iPhone X, but it's XR.
Yeah.
Not an XS.
I know.
I didn't know there was a huge size differential between XR and XS. Hey, Apple.
I know.
How about making the R and the S, both X phones, the same size?
Yeah. Yeah.
How am I supposed to see the fine print? That's
so
an
now
S, you,
so
not
now
an R.
I hate that.
So I got in the phone case, and of course, Elby was on it immediately. She's the phone case police. She was like, yeah, this isn't going to fit his phone.
What's with girls in their phone cases? Natalia, too, for her birthday. I want a new phone case. Like, it's got to be this one from Wildfire.
Oh, my God!
Wildfire.
Wildflower?
Wildflower.
Wildflower. Oh, my God. Lynette. I was just going to – we're living the same life. I was
the
just
plaid,
gonna
play. Pink and black.
Apparently,
plaid.
It's $40. I'm like,
yeah, I know. What?
Why does anybody need to spend $40?
You're
going to
ding that shit up. I know.
Oh, so then Elby tells
That's
me.
That's so funny.
Elby tells me, so my friend has one of those – the wildflower whatever case, and she got bored of hers. This is what she's telling me. She's like, I don't think I'm going to get one because I really, really wanted one, but my friend got one. And then she said she got bored of her, so she moved on to this other phone. So now the new thing is to get a clear case and cover it with stickers and like glitter shellac or something on it. Like
okay.
They make their own. Yeah. So LB told Sadie
to do that.
Was like, listen, I know you really are going to want the wildflower one because I'm telling you how cool it is.
Mm-hmm.
So now Sadie, who's 11, you don't need a $40 phone case,
biatch. I know,
but
he does. I know. And especially when you are going to drop it 10,000 times.
Right.
What you do need is the bulletproof ugly ones that are
the
thick.
Otter.
The otter ones. Just get that because that's what you really need, Natalia. Sonny does it, but she does. And it's weird because Sonny rides his bike with his phone on his person. She drops her phone all the time. Yeah. Did John have fun at the party? I forgot to ask you.
He totally did. He had a really good time. So he talked to Dr. Bruce for a long time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Dr. Bruce, who wasn't getting as much love as the others.
Yeah. Wade was getting all the love.
Yeah. Yeah, he hangs out with Wade. He and Wade are friends. So they walked around and like looked at cars.
Did people say like, oh, you're John from Turin?
Yes, a couple people did.
talked to him, recognized him.
Some of the fans. So there was Allie. The girl Allie was there.
Yeah, and Casey.
And Casey.
And Addie.
Oh, of course, Addie. Yeah. Love Addie. She's such
I love her, but I have a little bone to pick with Addie.
Aww.
She said Xander's fat.
What?
I swear to God.
She said fat?
Addie, I love you, but girl, that was inappropriate.
Really?
Yeah, she was like, yeah, I saw Xander. He's getting fat.
Oh, my God.
Like, who says that about someone's kid?
Really?
Yeah.
Drinking. That's what alcohol.
Addie. That hurt my feelings.
Aww.
I hope she didn't say anything like that to Xander.
Oh, I hope not. I'm sure. No. You would never say that to anybody.
And of course, at first, I was kind of shocked. So then I started defending him a little bit. I was like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm trying to get him more exercise. And but then later I was like, oh, who says that?
Mm-mm.
Would you ever say that about someone's kid?
No way. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm going to blame it on alcohol. And she's an Italian mama. My mom might have said something like that. Maybe it's an old school thing.
Yeah.
But you don't.
I forgive you, Addie. Just saying for next time.
Just buy all our stuff.
No, I know Addie loves you guys and came early and helped, right?
Yes, she did. She came the day before to help, too.
Did she call anyone else fat?
No, but I don't know. Yeah, no. And who else? Wasn't there somebody else, Stephanie, you were saying, that was like so excited to meet us they were shaking or something? No?
No, I think that was Dr. Bruce.
Bruce! What's with him? He is a spaz, isn't he? People are like, what's with Dr. Bruce? Like, do you ever see Dr. Drew walking around with a paper trail behind him, like bringing articles in? You know, like, oh, there's this.
I told Dr. Bruce, you're always telling me, you're like, every time there's some kind of a medical emergency, yeah. Dr. Bruce finds a way to work it into like, hey, how come I'm never on the show?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like,
I call him, like my kid's
in a coma.
Right.
Oh, that sucks.
Just put some ice on it. Yeah. How come I haven't heard from Maxipata in a long time? What's going on? They don't like me anymore? Like all the time, every single time.
But then
time.
When you invite him on the show, he does this fake, like super, you know, and you go like, Dr. Bruce, you should come on our show. Oh, who, me? No. What do I have to contribute?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
All right.
Okay. He had his girlfriend with him, his lady friend. Yeah, the doctors were in the house.
He's been divorced for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His ex-wife, Lois, is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else was here? Did I miss any drama?
No, but who, you want to know who wasn't here?
Who?
Well, the two co-hosts, but they don't need to be here.
Yeah. Do you think maybe Patreon?
Yeah, maybe Patreon. That's
Discuss
a good
that?
Idea. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, we'll talk about it on Patreon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Our show's over.
I know.
What the hell? We got
more talking to do, so tune in on Friday.
Friday, we do. We have more.
We'll continue.
More stuff going on. You guys, was there anything else we wanted to tell them?
Well, yeah. No, what else?
Join Patreon?
Join Patreon, right.
$5 a month. Not a week. Did you think
I said
a week?
No.
Because that's not true.
No.
It's a month. Although, for $5 a week.
I like the way you say month.
A month.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? For $20 a month, you can be a premium subscriber. And I'm going to say your name at the beginning of the show, like I did at the beginning of the show for Ishan Vajpayee.
Ishan.
Yeah.
I love Ishan. I love that he's doing this. That's very nice of him.
I know. So nice.
I'm going to say hi to him online or something.
And if you do $50 a month, you're going to get a shout out for your business once a week. Like Lauren Goldberg, who is a licensed clinical social worker in the Denver area. She does individual therapy, parent consultation. If your kid's having a hard time in school and they need someone to help, reach out to Lauren. Her website is securebasementalhealth.com. Also, Maria, this is another therapist. This is in the Washington State area. Maria is a sex and intimacy counselor.
I like that.
Sure. Sure. We need that for the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Maria at nwsextherapy.com. And her webpage is nwsextherapy.com. And she helps you with your low libido, pain during sex, all those things. And just, you know, relationship issues. Ulysses does a charity shout out every week.
Hit me with it.
Okay, this time we're going to do...
Hi, Ulysses.
You know, Ulysses does not have kids, by the way. Don't people know if they realize that. He is married, but he doesn't have kids.
Yeah. He's Learning Ally. This is a good one. It's a national nonprofit founded in 1948. It serves thousands of K-12 college and graduate students, as well as veterans and lifelong learners, all of whom cannot read standard print due to blindness, visual impairment, dyslexia, and other learning disabilities. And it's a 501. You know, it's a nonprofit.
That's cool.
So I don't have a website, so just look it up. Learning Ally, A-L-L-Y.
Oh, nice.
Check them out.
That's nice.
And let's just do Kate Marengo.
That's my girl. I talk to her all the time, you know.
Me too, like daily.
Yeah.
interiorchicago.com/interior-design to find out how Kate Marengo can help pimp you out.
Now I'm never going to call Kate because then the joke will be over. Now, Kate, I can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I'm just kidding.
Kate still wants to talk. I just do.
I need to talk to her.
Yeah. Go ahead. One, two. You know what? Since we just talked about her, let's just do one more. Let's give a shout out to our girl, Casey Howell.
Hi, Casey.
With Keller Williams Crystal Coast. She heard that from us like 100 times at the barbecue.
Her husband's very sweet, too.
Yeah. And she's super pretty.
Yeah, she is.
She's gorge.
Yes.
Yeah. You can find out how to find a new place to live in Eastern North Carolina by calling or texting her at 910-546-3991 or email her at kcmarie@gmail.com. Casey with a K. That's it.
Patrick, thank you. I just have to say a thank you to Patrick again because I almost missed him on my – well, we'll talk more on Friday.
Yeah.
And thank you to our sponsors, TommyJohn.com/FCOL, BrushHero.com/pages/loud, enter loud, Ancestry.com/FCOL, BuyRaycon.com/FCOL, and FabFitFun.com. Enter FCOL. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our listeners. We love you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Kaylin.
You're a parent now.
Don't F it up.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.